What's his name?
When Jan Foster comes face to face with her son's imaginary playmate, her world turns upside down. She seeks the power of ancient rituals, hoping to find the strength to save her son and cast out a demon hell-bent on possessing him.
Everybody, it's episode 50.
Yeah, finally hit number 50. This is a good one too. This is another haunting show.
Yeah, we know how much you guys like those.
Demon Child.
We like doing them. Demon Child is probably one of our favorite episodes.
Yeah.
Just because it's so, really what makes it the best, I think, is that kid. That kid is so entertaining and like all his facial expressions are really super funny.
And he's peeing on everything.
He pees on many things in this episode. We were actually, I was trying to think of doing something like super special, like for the 50th episode, but then I didn't think of it and whatever.
50 is just a number.
I guess so. So we'll just say that. So we'll just, that's the only special thing.
We don't have to worry about the network sponsors anymore.
Yeah, true.
So that's good.
Yeah. So,
we don't have to worry about going through that. What's the house cleaning?
Well, if you listen to last week's show, like I said, we're not on Project Entertainment Network anymore, but if you still want just the audio version of the podcast, you can get it on, we have a WordPress blog that's called 13 O'Clock Podcast. All of the episodes since the beginning are on there because I've been posting them on there the whole time. You can get them from there. You can get them from archive.org. We have a page there called 13 O'Clock Podcast and you can download it directly from there. Now, I did set up a new feed burner, so hopefully if you are listening on iTunes or on any of the other ones, then hopefully it will update. If it doesn't, maybe just do a search. I was actually having problems with iTunes before with it not updating, like it was 3 or 4 weeks behind, even when we were on Project Entertainment Network. You know, a couple of you have let me know that that they're a little bit behind, so hopefully we'll get that all sorted out, but we'll see how it goes. Yeah, so the audio version, it's still there. It's just, you know, it's at one less place. That's all.
Yeah.
And the YouTube show, like I said, is just going to be exactly the same. So no changes there. And it's still going to go up on Tuesday every week, just like normal. And so the other thing that we want to shout out is our Patreon.
That's right. We picked up another patron.
Yeah. Which is really good. And if you are interested in like a lot of our stuff and just kind of want to hear some extra shit, we have like a bunch of extra stuff.
Yeah, we do have bonus material on the
posted on there. Yeah, we had kind of a funny one where we talked about various tropes about a haunting. We had one where we talked about Project Entertainment. We had one where we talked about, I had one of me reading a short story. I have had a teaser of my new true crime book, Faceless Villain. That's up there.
Yeah, we got some more stuff we're going to put up there too.
Yeah, we're going to put up some more stuff as the weeks go on. So please
support the show.
Yeah, so if you support the show on Patreon, it doesn't have to be $5. Even any amount will get you access at least to our
extra bonus material. $1.
Yeah, so that'll be fine. Don't worry about that. And let's see, what else? Let's also mention again Spooky Empire.
Yeah, okay.
At the end of October, October 27th, 28th, 29th. It's the weekend before Halloween. And it's down here in Orlando. I think it's probably at the Orange County Convention Center. That's where it was last year. We're going to be at that, and we're going to be doing some of the panels, and we're going to be there selling books and all this other kind of stuff. So we'll be there. So come and say hi and smile at us and have some booze with us and whatnot.
Unseen Hands selling really well. Everybody's liking that book. Audiobook selling good. Also, 13 O'Clock in Minutes. Got to mention that. If you like this show, please subscribe to our other channel, 13 O'Clock in Minutes.
I just put up a new video, Creepiest Disappearances, 5 of the Creepiest Disappearances.
Yeah, I had a chance to look at it yet.
Yeah, it's like missing persons cases. So, I just put that up a couple days ago. So that's a new one. You might want to go check that out.
Okay.
And the only other thing I want to mention is my blog, Goddess of Hellfire, which I've been actually updating pretty good the last few weeks. Usually with more newer horror movie reviews. I just put up one the other day that was the movies Creep and They Look Like People. So if you want to read about horror movies, old ones, new ones, and then I got books and stuff on there too, reviews, funny stuff, then go check out my blog. It's just goddessofhellfire.com. Okay. And I think that's pretty much all the housekeeping we had to get out of the way, right?
Good. Yeah. Okay. Let's get right to the episode.
Okay. So
a haunting. Demon Child.
Demon Child.
All right, hook us up with it, Jen. How do you
go? Well, this was actually a season two episode. This was one of the rare ones where the people only wanted to be on the show if they were in silhouette.
Right. So you'd never really see their faces, but you can hear their voices. They're Southerners. You can tell that it's supposed to be taking place in Kentucky.
Kentucky.
And there's some pretty strong drawls in there. So,
yeah. You know, whether the thing actually took place in Kentucky, it probably did. Maybe they changed the town or whatever. The couple at the center of it on the show were named Dale and Jan Foster, but I'm assuming that's not their real names if they wanted their identities.
So you, through your research, you were never able to actually identify who this family is, what their names are, right?
No.
Or any other secondary sources of information. This is the only source, right?
Yeah, not that I ever saw.
All right. That's always difficult when you only have one source of information.
Yeah, and that happens a lot with some of these, haunting episodes. Except, you know, other than the ones that were like kind of famous cases, like the Dybbuk box and all that, although that was Paranormal Witness, wasn't it? You know, where there's no other, like no one wrote a book about it. There's no parapsychologist involved. There's nothing like that. And like I said, we don't know these people's real names. I don't even know if that's really the town that they're from.
Right.
I think all they said was Western Kentucky, which might be accurate. I don't know. But yeah, so it's Dale and Jan Foster. They have two kids. Now they have a daughter who's 16 and her name is Pamela. She doesn't really factor into the story all that much. And then they have a 5-year-old son named Cody.
Yeah.
And we love Cody.
Yeah.
Now, see, Cody is the best part of this episode.
See, when you're dealing with a case like this, and the video is the only source, then it's going to be up to New Dominion Pictures to tell you this story. There's no way to verify it. So this is all we have. It's just the video.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
So we're not really doing so much of debunking. We're just kind of having fun with the episode.
Yeah, you can't really debunk it because there's not enough information there. But that's not the point. The point is we're going to talk about this and give you guys our opinions about what is being depicted.
Yeah.
It's a good video, though.
And it's a good episode. And I also have to say that yet again, and this seems to happen a lot with episodes that we cover on this show.
Yeah.
The guy who plays the dad is, guess who?
Where is that raccoon?
Raccoon Man.
It's Raccoon Man.
Yeah, he doesn't have very many lines in this one.
He's really not kind of a non-entity in this one.
Yeah.
But I swear to God, why does that happen? Do we just like specifically like that guy or that guy is in?
There's just something about, you know.
It seems like pretty much every episode.
He weaseled his way into the good episodes.
It's our favorite episode. Because if you haven't seen, like, because we've seen pretty much, I think we've seen pretty much every episode of A Haunting ever filmed.
For at least the first seven seasons. Yeah.
And most of them multiple times. And if you see them enough times, you start to notice that they use a lot of the same actors.
The same shower curtain,
the same mugs, the same, you know, because the set design, I guess, is the same. I guess they film it at different houses, at least the exteriors.
That's different places.
But yeah, I mean, they do seem to make an effort to film it in the actual, like near where the actual thing took place. But
it's not going to be the exact same house, obviously,
because I mean, when we did a haunting in Florida, that did look like Deltona, Florida, because, you know, I'm from.
But I know the house they're talking about.
And that wasn't it.
But you know what? The house that they kept showing is in that area.
Yeah. So it's like I said, area. They do seem to make an effort to make it kind of close by.
It's in that same neighborhood.
And I guess it's whatever empty one they can rent out or whatever.
So I knew the address and then. Once I got there, I said, that's not the house that they showed.
Yeah.
And then you drive a little, just up the block a little bit, and you go, that's the house they showed.
Yeah. And now probably like those people that live there have all these like haunting fanboys like sitting on their lawn.
Get out of my yard.
One thing I've noticed that they do a lot, and I think they did it on this episode too, the Demon Child one, is that the houses that they show these families living in, are always like way nicer than I imagine the real houses are.
Yeah.
Because, okay, now I don't know if this is their real jobs or not, because like I said, they wanted to stay anonymous. Now the guy was supposedly worked for the post office in some capacity, and she was like a delivery driver for UPS or FedEx or something like that. But they lived in a house.
Looked like a monument.
Yeah, it looked like, I mean, even down here where the housing is not terribly expensive, that would be almost $1 million house.
Yeah. I think so.
That was a gigantic brick house.
It would depend on the location.
You see
houses like that in certain forgotten towns now.
Yeah, that's true.
That it doesn't make any sense. When you see them, you're like, why is that there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no money around in this neighborhood. How'd that get built? Well, there used to be a long time ago.
Well, back in the old days. Yeah,
the economy moved around.
So maybe that's what it was. Maybe
the thing is that when you find those things, if you try to find who owns it, a lot of times they're not being used. Try to find who owns it, and you were to ask how much it was, they'd want a ridiculous amount of money for it. And you're like, how's a person that's supposed to live in this area kind of come up with that kind of money?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know how that goes.
Except Detroit. You can find a whole skyscraper in Detroit for about $100.
Yeah. If you want to go be Batman and live
Yeah,
in
if you
it.
Want to be Batman. But the problem is with Detroit is that once you sign on the dotted line, you've now agreed to redo all the electricity and all the plumbing. So you're putting $8 million into the thing.
Yeah, true.
So that's why nobody buys them.
So it's not really as much of a bargain as it seems initially. But okay, so this story, like I said, really the first thing that seemed amiss was that this couple, they had a nanny that stayed in the house and looked after Cody during the day. Because I guess he was only 5, so he wasn't really old enough to go to school yet. So this nanny kind of takes the mother aside and says something like, you know, he's been acting really bratty, pretty much. I mean, like, he's been swearing and, like, using what, quote-unquote,
unspeakable
words. I was like, well, he spoke them, so obviously.
How unspeakable were they? Was this some out of Lovecraft?
Yeah. I know, right? It must have been because he summoned a demon. I guess it was. Yeah. And and said he was acting real bratty and real strange and stuff like that. And I think that she implied that when she had taken the kid to the park, she says the kid was there playing with his trucks or whatever, and then the swing looked like it kind of started going by itself. And then she said the kid started talking to somebody in the swing that was obviously not there.
Yeah, so there's an imaginary friend acting.
So she says, okay, so the kid has an imaginary friend and is suddenly acting like a tiny asshole.
Yeah.
And I love this. Like, this is their nanny, right? Like, this woman that comes to their house and watches their kid.
Yeah.
And the mom is like, oh, well, I'll talk to the kid and stuff. And the nanny's like, well, see that you do.
Yeah, see that you do. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, Mary Poppins, damn.
Straighten that boy out.
I know. I don't know. I just thought that was very funny. It's like not even her kid.
And we're not really sure what year this is. It's never given.
I'm assuming
it's the 70s.
You think?
Well, the woman was kind of older.
Yeah.
At the time of the interview, I could tell by her silhouette and her voice. I would say she was probably about 60. And she was talking about, I guess, during a time when she was in her 20s. So I'm saying that this may have been the 70s.
Although they didn't film it to look like that.
No, but it'd be kind of expensive to make something period. They never mentioned, they never really mentioned the...
That's true. They usually don't go a lot. I mean, because when we did Haunting of Summerwind, that was set in what, like the late 60s or early 70s, right?
Yeah.
They did kind of have the people look sort of 70s-ish, but they didn't really go whole hog with...
Yeah, in fact, the way the girl was dressed, she was wearing a white belt. She actually looked indie. Kinda.
Yeah. But it looked modern day.
It looked modern day, but it just didn't match up a woman that... She had to have been about 60, wouldn't you say?
Probably, yeah. Well, maybe.
Well, maybe she was in her 30s when she had the kid.
Yeah,
maybe it's only 30 years ago. There's no telling.
Yeah, so we don't really know when this was.
It's not possible to put a date on this.
Right, so Cody has an imaginary friend, right? And that's, you know, kind of everybody's like, well, whatever, you know, and he's just acting like a tool, and that happens.
Yeah,
it's a kid.
Prepare yourself, because not much actually physically happens.
Well, now, I feel like that happens a lot, too, on the episodes that we talk about. When I go to write down
what exactly
the reviews
happened,
of, or like the, like, the outline,
you're
I'm like
4 things happened.
Yeah. And yet somehow they made it like a 48-minute episode.
Yeah.
You have to kind of admire that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Now, I do notice that, and they do this a lot too, but like at the end, like the last 20 minutes, 20 minutes of the episode will all be like exorcism.
Yeah.
So it'll basically be, they filmed somebody walking around a house
looking
praying,
over their shoulders. Yeah.
And then they filmed it all crazy, with a shaky cam. And
with
stuff
a smoky
like
abalone shell and a feather.
Yeah. And like shining lights through the window. So it looked like something was happening.
They're shaking the camera.
Yeah.
Look scared, honey. Look over your shoulder. That's right. Give it to me.
I like your fear. Yeah. Yes. But so basically.
Yeah, back to the beginning.
After that. So after the kid acting like an asshole and having an imaginary friend. Okay, fine. Now, the next thing that happens is actually the 16-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
They show her and she's in her bedroom at night and she starts hearing something under the bed.
Yeah.
Now, the first thing they do is one of the cat fake outs, which is kind of your horror standard there.
It was the cat.
It was the cat, like under the bed making noise, which I can relate to because our kitten does that same thing.
Yeah.
See, that's why there could be a ghost in our room all this time and I would never know because I wake up in the middle of the night and I hear a bunch of noise and I just assume it's the kitten because she gets into everything.
But she ends up running into her mom's room saying that she heard something clawing and scratching on the wall. That's the first concrete complaint.
She takes the cat in the bed and then the cat's there, but then she still starts hearing scratching like at the walls or the doors or something like that. That's what she says.
Yeah, anyway. So she jumps in bed with mom and dad at 16 years of age.
Which I thought was very weird. And then the weirdest thing ever, and I took a screenshot of this specifically so I could put it in the YouTube video because I thought it was so creepy, was that... So the 16-year-old daughter is sleeping in the bed with the parents, and then the mom gets up to go take a shower to go to work in the morning and leaves the 16-year-old kid and the dad in bed together. And they did a shot of it.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, we don't have any daughters. We don't have any kids. So maybe that's just, you know.
I don't know. I just thought that behavior. Was, just well, I was just thinking back to when I was 16 and how weird that was.
Yeah, you'd be like, yeah, like, I gotta get out of like, here.
Ew, what the fuck? Where'd my mom go? I was like, I don't want to be in bed with my dad. That's creepy. I just thought it was weird that they went out of their way to show a shot of them.
Well, she was that scared. She was that scared she wasn't coming out of there.
I guess not. Yeah. So the mom gets up and goes to take a shower to go to work or whatever. Now she's in the shower and she hears something in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's right.
And she thinks, now on the show, they showed like a shadow on the curtain or whatever. She didn't say she saw that. Right. She just said she heard something in the bathroom and she thought it was Cody. And so she like opens the curtain. But there's nobody there, obviously. Yeah,
but she sees a footprint.
Yeah, she sees like a footprint. Like the shampoo bottle has fallen off the side of the tub, which is not that weird. And she sees a footprint like in the rug, right? Like a wet footprint.
Well, it looked like a shoe footprint.
Yeah.
Right? It was a shoe footprint. Yeah. It was black.
That's how it was like portrayed. A dirty footprint, yeah.
Right. So she goes to the kid's bedroom to think that it was
thinking that it's the kid, yeah.
But his shoes weren't on. They were on top of the bed.
Yeah, he still had his jammies
on. And he had his jammies on and he was talking to man.
And he was talking to man.
Man. Yeah.
Because in case we didn't mention, that's the name.
That's the name of the
imaginary friend. The imaginary friend.
She says, what's his name? His name's Man. Because he doesn't have any other name? No, his name is Man.
That's the end of it.
That's it.
His name is Man. Yeah. I said it would have been actually funnier if his name was Kid.
Yeah.
But his name is Man, so yeah.
Yeah, he's playing with the cars, and she says something to him. What did she say to him? And he said something, man, said I could or something like that.
Well, now, at this point, I think she's just like, hey, why don't you get ready for school or why don't you do something like that?
That's right.
And then the kid gets up and stomps with purpose over to his mother. And he's like, I don't want to go to school. Yeah. I want to play with man.
Yeah, that's
right.
And
then he takes his clothes and shoes are folded on the bed and he just sweeps it off the bed.
That's right. And they get into a big pissing match. And it's funny because you can tell that the little boy's almost laughing his ass off. And so is the actress.
What is so funny about this kid. And like I said, I went through this episode and took like a whole bunch of screenshots of this kid's face just because this kid's expressions crack me up. You can tell that he's trying to have a tantrum, but that he's also trying really hard not to laugh.
Yeah.
So like he's trying to look really mean and pissed off.
Yeah. And he gets like this deadpan look with it on his face with this curled snarl. And he looks just like a little baby version of that guy. If you've ever seen James Bond, Casino Royale, El Chifre, the bad guy with the glass. Yeah. With like the one gray eye and a scar and he can bleed tears. When he's sitting there at the poker table with his face all snarled up and everything, you know. That was the most badass movie I've ever saw. I love it, Casino Royale. That dude looked like he wanted to kill you, you know. You got to put a shot of that guy in the video.
Okay, I'll have to find one. Yeah.
But he looks just, you can put them side by side, and that little boy and that actor. El Chifre. They look exactly alike. Darken the kid's hair. Baby El Chifre.
But yeah, so that's like the funniest part too, is because you can tell the kid's trying not to laugh, and then the actress is also trying to be mad at him, and she's also trying not to laugh, and they didn't do another take.
No.
It's kind of subtle, but you can tell.
Yeah.
So basically what ends up happening is that the kid just starts acting more and more like a total bratling. It's like he just doesn't want to do anything. He always wants to play with man. They kind of hear him like he's awake at night and he's like talking and shit like that. All right, so he's in the kitchen and like his mom's trying to get him to eat breakfast and stuff. And she's telling Raccoon Man, hey, our kid has a imaginary friend. Isn't making him act like a brat. Isn't that funny and stuff? Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, he's not really buying into it.
Yeah, and so then the kid comes in the kitchen and she's like, hey, eat your cereal. I don't want to eat cereal. I want to play with men.
Yeah.
And then she gets all upset about it and shit like that.
She starts asking more questions about man, and then he actually tells the story of man.
Yeah. So at this point, I don't think the dad, because they only talked to the dad, like the real dad.
Yeah.
For only once or twice.
Yeah. And he's like, I didn't really know what to think. They're getting all upset.
He did. He talked just like that.
Well, I can do that. I'm from Mississippi. He started getting all upset. You know how they are.
I thought he was going through a change.
That's how them little boys do,
when they're five.
She was getting all upset.
And again, I mean, we actually kind of talked about this on one of the extra things that we did on our Patreon. That's kind of a real common trope on a haunting. Is like the men are just like, whatever, man. Yeah. I don't know. It was women. I don't want to deal with this.
You know how them women are. Yeah.
Getting upset.
They're getting upset.
But she was. She was getting very upset. Yeah. It turns out, so she starts asking him about man. Now, Cody says that man is actually a little boy and he's 6 years old.
Yeah.
And she says that man came from behind the park where the lake is.
Well, she didn't say it. He said that.
He said that.
Yeah, yeah.
He came from behind the park deep in the ground.
Right.
And that a stranger took him from his mommy.
Yeah.
And did terrible things to him.
Yeah.
And the little boy cried and cried and screamed for his mommy, but his mommy never came and his mommy never found him. And he never saw his mommy again.
Yeah.
And so at this point, like, his mom is like
tripping out.
Is tripping out. And it's like, is man dead? And he says, yeah.
Yeah.
Man's dead. So now they're thinking, okay, well, now there's like a malevolent little dead kid haunting our house and making our kid act like a total
dick.
Asshat.
Yeah, so it gets worse too.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
Again, the dad is just kind of like blowing it off, like, whatever, kids say weird shit, which they do.
Yeah, I'm chilling.
I'm chilling. Always saying something about dead children. Chillins. That's my grandpa used to say. Yeah. Right. Chillins. But the mom thinks there might be something more to it. So her and the daughter go to, the records office or whatever, and they kind of look up old newspapers on the microfiche, seeing if there was some kind of unsolved child murder or some kind of shit. Well, they don't find anything. So we don't know if there's any corroboration there. There was no child murder that seemed to correspond. So she said, like, over the course of the next few weeks or however long it was, Cody became more kind of introspective, not introspective, but he didn't want to talk to them anymore. Yeah. Like, he would just stay in his room and talk to man and
introverted.
Yeah. Introverted. Yeah, that's what I meant. And shit like that. Yeah. So at this point, there is no mention on this show anywhere that they sought any kind of psychological counseling for this child.
No, down south, they don't need that, That's for crazy. That's for crazy people. I'm going to call an Indian shaman.
That she knew, because everyone knows one, evidently. Everybody on a haunting
knows a
psychic or an Indian shaman, which is amazing.
Yeah.
We don't know any. We know a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, it's because, we hunt hog. Hunt hog, hunting deer. You're going to be Indian shaman, That's how it is. Indian magic.
Yeah, they're around.
Yeah.
So she consults this Indian shaman that she knows.
Yeah, he just, in the way he's presented, he's got his braid. He's got something tied around his, like a headband.
Yeah.
Stereotypical stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Although, when he entered, they did not play Indian music, did they?
You're right. That was the only one where they haven't done that.
Yeah.
Not that I noticed. Although I'd have to watch it again.
I don't remember.
Because I don't remember hearing
it. I don't remember. I would have laughed.
Yeah, true. Because you noticed that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But,
I've heard musical. I understand what they're doing. I understand how they're playing with my mind with music. They're going, I know what you're doing. Just because that priest showed up, you want to go, whoa, getting me to believe in heaven. And
God approves of this man coming into the house.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Right.
Yeah.
So it didn't happen this time. The Native American just came down and he didn't have a soundtrack, which was kind of a disappointment.
Right.
But he basically told them, they said, we think there's like a ghost of a dead kid and it's kind of like possessing the kid, or it's at least taking the kid's soul away. I don't know what they thought it was doing, but it was making their kid act like a brat or whatever. So he said, you have to do the cleansing and the sage burning and yada, yada. But he's like, but I can't do it. The owner of the house is going to do it. Because, you know, he was just thinking, man, what the fuck? All these white people money. Calling me up. He's like, I don't want to deal with your bullshit. Yeah. You do it.
Pay me. I'm going to give you this and you do it.
Yeah. So he whips out a huge thing of sage, which he carries around for just such emergencies.
Yeah.
And, he's like, I got this big wad of sage right here.
Yeah.
And you just burn this and like say, go away, evil spirit or whatever.
Got that from the hippie segment of town.
I guess he did. Yeah. He got it from one of those head shops.
Whenever you go where the head shops and the hippies are, they're hanging out. They got one of those places where you can buy all the sage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that must be the least haunted places on Earth. The least haunted
place on Earth.
Pro tip.
Yeah. They're all wearing sandals.
So the mom does the sage, what you call it. And it appears to work temporarily. I think they said that for 3 months, Cody started acting like normal Cody again instead of like asshole possessed Cody.
Yeah.
Okay. But because you know that there's still, the episode's only like half over.
You know shit's going to throw down.
So, you know, it never works the first time.
No. It makes it worse.
It usually does. So basically 3 months, everything's fine. The kid's acting normal, blah, blah, blah. So then, actually, we're at the halfway point, so let's take a short break right now. It's going to be a much shorter break than usual.
All right.
And then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the episode with Cody and Man.
Yeah, that sounds kinky, doesn't it? That's like some bad shit's going to happen here, man. It's like something you can go to jail for.
Cody and Man.
Not good.
And the white windowless man.
Yeah, man.
It rhymed and everything. Okay. Okay, so we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
The Unseen Hand, a new exploration of poltergeist phenomena by Jenny Ashford. Author of The Rochdale Poltergeist, House of Fire and Whispers, and The Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist. The Unseen Hand is a comprehensive collection of over 100 reported poltergeist cases from the first century to the present day. All the best known cases are presented, from the Bell Witch to Jeff the Talking Mongoose, from Rosenheim to Tina Resch, from Enfield to The Entity. A large selection of fascinating and lesser-known accounts from all over the world are also included, and all contain testimony from the most eerie and extraordinary events. The Unseen Hand is the ultimate compendium for readers interested in poltergeist disturbances throughout history and the theories behind what causes them. On sale now from Amazon in print, ebook, and audiobook formats. Go to Unseen Hand Book on Facebook and visit www.jennyashford.com for more information.
Hey, 13 O'Clock fans. Love the show but don't have an hour to spare? Check out our new list channel, 13 O'Clock in Minutes. All the fun, creepy topics of the main podcast, but in easy-to-swallow, bite-sized pieces. Links in the description. More videos to come soon. Right. Okay, talking about Cody and the Man.
Yeah. That almost sounds like a 70s sitcom.
Well, Cody and the Man. Yeah, well, what was that one?
Chico and the Man.
I used to watch that with my grandma.
God, man, I was on YouTube and I saw a compilation of old 70s series, you know, the little theme songs. And
the little openers.
I forgot there were so many bad shows back in the
70s. Oh, there really were. I remember.
I mean, some of them, I was like, Pink Lady. God, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, Pink Lady and Jeff. I can't remember. Yeah. It was like a little, weren't they Japanese?
Japanese. They were pretending like they were famous Japanese.
Yeah, like pop singers or something.
Yeah, but I don't think they were. They were just, that was just the story.
I don't think they were actually
famous. Yeah. Yeah. They were just, you know, like 70s skinny Kilgore type.
Yeah, everybody looked like so Kilgore in the 70s. Yeah,
damn.
I watch a lot of 70s horror movies because I love 70s horror movies.
God, those girls are skinny, man.
I'm like, how can they be that skinny with cocaine? It must have been cocaine.
Holy crap.
How is anyone naturally that skinny?
They were not naturally that skinny.
Ah.
No.
It's terrifying. So 3 months goes by. And then all of a sudden, the mom is walking down the hall doing laundry, just like women on the show always do, as we pointed out on our extra, which go give us some money on Patreon and you can listen to what we're talking about this. Yeah. They're always doing, women always be doing laundry on this show.
Yeah.
So she's doing laundry and Cody's playing in the hall.
Laundry is a time for, is the most known time for ghost attack.
I guess it must be. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Ghost sees a woman doing laundry, goes, now's the time to strike.
Now is when women are at their most vulnerable.
Most vulnerable. Fold that shit, bitch. Fold it. I'll come up. Okay, no, I'm fucking around too much. We gotta get.
No, it's funny.
Okay, all right.
So Cody is playing in the hall, playing with his fire trucks, going wee wee wee, and making annoying kid noises. And then all of a sudden, bink, he starts talking to Man again.
Yeah.
And you can see, like, the actress's face, she just makes this fuck my life.
Oh, kind of yeah. This is one of the best parts of the episode, actually. I know what's going
on. Now, like, if this really happened, this would be creepy as shit. I'm just saying.
This would be real
creepy. I don't know if it really happened or not, but if it did, this would be creepy.
I got certain ideas, maybe, what happened, but go ahead.
So then, like, she hears him talking to man. She comes out and she keeps calling his name, but he won't answer. Like, he's staring off into space and he won't answer.
Yeah.
So she, like, runs up to him.
Cody, what's wrong? And in his hand is a photograph.
Yeah, there's a photograph in his hand.
And she's like, Cody, what you got here? And she pulled the photograph out of his hand. He goes, no, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine.
Yeah, he starts wigging the fuck out.
You know, yeah.
And going aggro.
It's okay. It's okay. Let me look at it. Let me look at it. And she looks and it's a photograph of a little boy and an old lady. And it's on a Polaroid from either the 60s or the 50s.
Yeah, she said 50s or 60s. Yeah, it looked like an old Polaroid.
Goes, who's that? He goes, that's man.
And then she's like, where did you get it from? He said, man gave it to me.
And I'm like, oh.
Which, can you imagine, like, oh my God, can you imagine if we had a 5-year-old kid and like suddenly that like a fucking picture appeared in his hand.
Right.
And you didn't know where it came from.
Right.
He'd be like, man gave it to me. And he was just sitting there with it in his hand. Yeah. That's fucking creepy.
Now, if it really went down that way, I would say that would give some credibility to this case. But I'd have to know where the photo came from. There's a possibility that the kid earlier on, maybe the day before, was walking around. And maybe a letter just, or not a letter, a photograph just blew by. Or maybe he was digging in the garbage and found a photograph. And he thought to himself, that must be man.
Yeah, see, that's easily explained.
Yeah. All right. But that's not how we're being told it went down. We're being told that everything was normal, and then all of a sudden she just notices him there in a trance, and in his hand he's got a picture of man. Where'd you get that? Oh, man gave it to me. As if man appeared, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Came through a dimension door, you know what I mean, with a photograph and goes, check this out, kid, and gave it to me. that'd be weird.
You can't see Tom's gestures right now, but they're very funny.
Yeah.
He's doing the mime.
Yeah, and I don't know which way it happened. The episode is leading me to believe that it happened as if man gave it to him right then. He only had it for a few minutes.
Right.
But he may have had that, you know.
Although, like you said, the kid could have found it earlier pretty much anywhere.
And been carrying
it around like in his pocket or something.
Yeah,
like
nobody knew.
And then he thought it was man.
And
because he's like, oh, it's a little kid in there. So that's who it is.
Right.
Because I found it.
Right. So we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
But like I said, that'd be
the first. I think it's probably more likely that he found it on his own.
Yeah.
And he assumed that that was man. Because why? Because he found it. If he found it, then it's man.
Well, yeah.
Man gave it to him because he found it.
Yeah.
That's how little kids think.
Well, because they think the whole world revolves around them.
Right. They're not going to be like, well, I found this random photograph and I don't know this person.
Right.
You know. So I'm going to throw the photo away. No, that's not how it is.
Yeah.
I found this photo. There's something. It's important because I found it.
Yeah.
And there's a little boy in it. That must be man.
I imagine that's probably the most likely scenario.
Right.
But yeah, so after that, the kid starts acting like a butthole again.
Yeah.
He starts to, like, his nanny is trying to give him lunch and stuff like that. And he has another little tantrum where he just, like, sweeps the lunch off the table. He says, I don't want any stupid lunch.
Yeah.
And then, like, his mom comes in and is like, Cody, what the fuck? And then, like, the kid, like, pushes his mom down.
Yeah.
And he's like, my man said I don't have to do anything. You guys say blah. And he's like,
I am El Shifre.
Yeah, right. And at this point, the nanny goes, fuck this. I'm out.
Yeah.
Right? The nanny quits.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, get that kid some counseling. And I was like, yeah, I agree.
Right.
But they never do. So now, like, the mom is kind of like stuck in this position of like, well, now I have to find somewhere to stick this kid while I'm at work.
Yeah.
So the first place she takes him is to, now they said it was a distant cousin. So I guess it was like a relative of theirs that lived nearby. And she had a daughter that was around the same age as Cody. And this relative, I don't think they name her.
No.
The little girl's name was Kaylee, I think. So this lady says, okay, well, I can take care of Cody for a little while until you find another daycare. So the mom tells Cody, now I'm going to take you to what's-her-name's house and don't take man with you, okay? And he says he won't.
Leave man at home.
So she takes the kid to the house and then she goes to work. Now, a little while later, she gets a phone call from the relative. And the relative is freaking out and she's crying and stuff. She says, come get this kid right now.
Come get him out of here.
Come get him out of here.
Yeah, she shows up and in the episode, the woman's already dragging the kid out the
dragging
door.
Dragging the kid out the door like, get him out of here.
Get him out of him.
Take him.
She's like, what happened?
So she's like, she says, what is wrong with him?
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, my kid is in there freaking out.
Crying, yeah.
And crying. And then it shows...
Yeah, like a little flashback of what happened.
Of what happened. Now, right. The woman is in the house, like, picking up toys or whatever. And this is according to the mom. They right. didn't have this woman on yeah. the show, like, for real.
So there's no corroborating witness. Yeah. There's no witness. Right. So we're not provided with the witness.
Yeah. But this is what the mom said that this other woman said. Right. She said she was in the living room picking up toys, and she heard Cody and the little girl were in the bedroom. And she said, I heard a voice. And she's like, for a second, I thought it was Cody talking in another voice, but it was like a man's voice. Like, it was a really deep voice.
Yeah.
And then the daughter screamed. Mm-hmm. So she ran and opened the door, and she saw Cody and the little girl standing in the middle of the room and a bunch of toys floating in yeah. the air above them.
Right. And then as soon as she saw it, they fell.
They fell to the ground.
It was about what was shown or how it was pictured was 6 or 7 fairly large objects.
Yeah.
About a foot tall, each one of them, I would say, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And they fell to the floor simultaneously.
And the little girl was like crying and freaking
out. You know, really, it sounds like poltergeist manifestation. That's the kind of stuff that I saw.
If this shit happened the way it happened, then that's probably what it was. I don't think it was a demon or anything like that. Yeah, so after that point, she's like, she has to take the kid home. And she's like, look, I told you not to take man. Why did you do that? And all this other stuff. So now she's got to call other places and she finds another daycare to take him to. And then she insists this time, really, I'm serious. You can't take man to the daycare. And evidently he doesn't, because she takes him to the next daycare and everything is fine.
Right.
But it's funny because the voiceover on the show says, at night, man waits for him to come home. He's waiting for him to come home from daycare.
Damn.
So he can make him act like an asshole more.
Yeah.
So then there was other shit too. There was... the next thing, one evening, the dad, Raccoon Man,
where is that raccoon?
Yeah.
Comes up the stairs to tell Cody it's time for dinner, and Cody is cutting up one of his teddy bears.
Yeah, that's right, he's cutting it up. He says, what are you doing? Why are you cutting up your toys? And he goes, man said it would be fun.
Man said it would be fun.
Man said I could. And then they go downstairs, and the teenage daughter is like, what happened to my cat? And, Cody's just sitting there on the couch with a crazy look on his face. She goes, like, get up, you know, and he was sitting on top of the kitten.
Yeah, he put the kitten underneath the couch cushion and then sat on top of it. He's trying to suffocate.
Like, he was trying to kill the kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, if I had a 5-year-old kid and they did that to my cat, the kid is going.
Yeah.
Don't you dare do anything to my cat. Don't you dare hurt my cat.
Yeah.
Cats, I like cats better than kids. Yeah. I'm telling you that right now.
I think the next major thing after that was the closet, right?
Yeah, that was the next thing. Okay.
That was the next thing.
So at this point, you know, the teddy bear, I guess, wasn't such a huge deal because boys, he's a boy. Like, boys tear shit up.
They get tired of their toys.
They do. I have two brothers. They did that too. They, you know, and I used to actually, my parents actually used to run a daycare. So.
I tried to blow up my Millennium Falcon with a bunch of firecrackers one time.
That's
how it goes, man.
Yeah, my brother blew up all of his G.I. Joes with bottle rockets.
I would shoot my toys with a BB gun, you know, Red Rider BB gun.
And we had a dart gun also, so we used to shoot stuff with that. Yeah, so, but them, you know, him sitting on the cat trying to kill the cat, and then he made, like, the little actor that was playing the kid, like, made the best face ever, like, like this really, like, snidely whiplash kind of look. He's like, yeah, trying to kill the kid.
He's like, yeah.
Well, that's what was so funny about his faces. Yeah. It's like you could see the whole time he was trying not to laugh while he was having these horrible, evil tantrums and shit. You know, so that seems like some serial killer shit right there. But like, so the mom was crying about that. He's like, you're trying to kill the cat. What are we going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, put him in a home? I don't know. But they didn't do that. Yeah. So then the next day or the next scene or whatever, and then they show the mom and she's trying to clean up Cody's room and he's just sitting there like a bomb. And she's saying, you know, you're getting old enough where you can help me out around here and pick your clothes up and blah, blah, blah. And she's digging around in his closet and...
Everything was wet.
Everything is wet, as the narrator
says. And she's like, Cody, are you peeing in your closet? And that little kid's just sitting up there on the bed like, yeah, I'm peeing on her. Why are you peeing in the closet? Yeah. Man said I could.
Yeah.
Man said it's okay.
That's hilarious.
Incidentally, man said I could is just like the best excuse for anything. We still use it. Like if you, you know, one of us gets in trouble for something, hey, man said I could. Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but he was peeing all over his toys, his toy box, peeing all over his own clothes, and I guess he was wearing them too, you know. I'm going to pee on this and wear it, you know.
I say he was marking his territory. Yeah, I mean.
Take my signature wherever I go.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Yeah.
Make other people enjoy it. See how that? Pure man right there. That's pure man right there.
Everyone will know I've been here.
In the South, we know all about this. Raccoons do it. Squirrel.
Well, that's what
cats do it.
Well, hunters go and drink themselves in deer piss when they're out.
Think about it, man. A 5-year-old boy is not that far removed from an animal.
No, of course not. That's why I think they put, I mean, I guess they did it in chronological order, but like the peeing incident, I'm like, that sounds pretty much like a regular boy. That and cutting up the teddy bear, I'm like, yeah, big deal.
Yeah.
I was like I said, I have
brothers.
Yeah,
I'm going to kill that cat. Yeah. In 10 years, I'm going to have gasoline.
Yeah, oh man.
I got old enough to play with the gasoline. I love it.
My brother did so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
You go in there and steal it from your dad's lawnmower. Yeah. Let's set this on fire. Stand back. Hold my Mr. Pibb.
Or your Annie Greensprings. I know that's true.
You non-Southerners wouldn't know what Mr. Pibb was. But
they have Mr. Pibb everywhere.
Oh, they do now?
I think.
Back in the day, it was only in the South.
Oh, maybe they don't.
That and knee-high.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen knee-high peaches.
No, I don't think. Well, do they still make knee-high even? I haven't seen it in ages.
It's not like it used to
be. I used to like the orange. The grape's nasty as fuck, though.
Okay. Let's get back to the show.
So anyway. So, you know, she's like, you know, you pee in the bathroom, not the closet. Duh. You know, you're 5. And then he has another little tamper. I don't have to listen to you anymore. Yeah. Man said I don't have to listen to you.
Yeah.
You know.
Man said you don't have to listen to you anymore.
So I have like all these really great audio clips of all
that'd
this.
Be cool if that'd be a cool defense just for an adult. You know what I mean? You get hauled into court for like an armed robbery. Man said I don't have to listen to you. Tell that to the judge. Cops show up. Man said I could. It's be like, gone, coppers.
And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, man said it? Okay, yeah.
Right. He evoked the man said I could defense. Yeah, man said, okay. It's like the Twinkie defense, but even better.
Yeah.
At this point, like I said, he's still acting like a brat, peeing all over everything. Now, then there comes one particular night where the mom and the dad are sleeping or whatever, and then Cody comes into their room and is acting like normal Cody. And he's all scared and shit. And he's like, Mommy, my bed is shaking.
Yeah.
And he's like getting scared. And he's like, apparently he is over man at this point. He's just kind of like, this is fucked up. And I'm like, even though I was having fun peeing on everything and cutting up my toys and whatnot and getting away with shit because man said I could.
Yeah.
Evidently, even Cody couldn't take it.
Man was getting out of hand.
Man was getting out of hand. So she lets the kid sleep in the bed, and then she says, okay, well, I'm going to see what the fuck is going on with this. Mm. So she leaves Cody in the bed, and she goes down and lays down on Cody's bed. She's like, I wanted to see what was going on with this kid in his room. Now she says, or this is what they showed in the reenactment, that she's laying on the bed, like waiting to commune with man, I guess. Mm. And then she sees like a silhouette in the doorway, which at first she thinks is Cody because it looks like a little boy. But I'm assuming in the show they were saying, oh, it was like the little dead kid that they thought it was at the beginning or whatever. Right. And so she's like, oh, Cody, come here. And then she hugs the kid. And apparently while she's hugging the kid starts growing into a big, ropey, naked dude that's all painted white. Looks kind of like a war boy from Fury Road, actually. But kind of like that.
Actually, he looked like that guy that we knew from El Salvador. No, from Colombia.
Jacob.
He looked like Jacob.
It did kind of.
Look like Jacob. You got to put a picture of Jacob in there.
Yeah.
Jacob was this Colombian guy who's a goth guy who was on a couple of South American television shows, remember?
Yeah.
And he would always play somebody's boyfriend or something, but he looked just like that. He'd dress up as a vampire or a demon with huge wings and cloven hooves.
Yeah.
And
he has some kick-ass outfits.
Really cool outfits. And
He did suspensions, like fence suspensions, where they put hooks through the piercings in your back and lift you up and he flies around the room and stuff.
Yeah, he was also a tattoo artist. He did Jenny's sleeve.
Yeah, he did one of my tattoos on my arm.
But, he looked just like that.
He did. Yeah, now that you mention it, he did actually look like that. We should ask him if he was in a haunted. Yeah. this episode is so old. It was like so many years ago. Okay. So apparently the mom has now seen man. And, you know, I don't know if they implied that it like kind of tried to rape her or something, but they, you know what I mean? But it was kind of like jumping around. She was like, ah! She was like screaming and shit like that. And so like her whole family comes running out and is like, what the fuck are you screaming about? And they didn't really tell the dad or the daughter.
She didn't?
Maybe she did later, but on the reenactment, she was just kind of like, oh, it's nothing, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
But she said she finally understood what Cody was going through.
Yeah, so, like, then Cody was standing there, and then he came over and, like, grabbed her hand.
Yeah.
And she said, and then he gave me a look like, see, that's
what was going
on. Yeah,
this wasn't a little boy. Man wasn't a little boy. It was this demonic man.
Yeah, it was a demon.
Yeah, big demonic guy.
Right. So she calls the shaman back again. And she's like, hey, that shit you said before, it didn't work.
Yeah,
and he said, well, it didn't work because it's your fault. Because
you're a woman.
And you can't do anything right. You can't even wave sage around.
It just wasn't specific enough.
Yeah. So because the first time that she did the sage,
she was trying to kick out a little boy.
She was trying to kick out what she thought was a little dead kid that was haunting
their
house.
And that's not what it was.
And that's not what it was. It was a demon. And it's particularly, you have to be particularly specific when you're doing this kind of ritual, that the one thing that you want out of your house. Because if you say, hey, I want the vampire out of my house, or hey, I want this specific spirit out of my house, all the other ones will say, oh, well, I guess we can stay then. Cool, bro.
Right.
So they hang around. You know, again, she has to do it by herself. She sends everybody off to work, school, etc.
Right.
Gets out the sage.
Olive oil.
And then olive oil, where she... Okay.
And she was pouring a lot of olive oil down.
Yeah.
In the reenactment.
I was like,
man, you must have a gallon of that.
I was like, is that extra virgin olive oil?
Yeah, really.
That shit's not cheap. Don't waste that.
Yeah.
You make a good vinaigrette.
She's pouring a lot of it down.
Well, the weird thing, is that she was pouring it. You'd think that you would want to pour it, like, around the perimeter.
She was just pouring it in the doorways.
She was just pouring it. Well, she came in the doorway, like, several feet, and then she poured, like, a line of it. I'm like, are you not just like trapping the demon in the house?
I thought
you wanted it
to go. Yeah, if it's in there, how can it leave? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I don't understand.
It's
how
a ritual. It's a ritual. Don't read too much into it because it doesn't have anything to do with it.
So
if a ritual would work, if a ritual actually worked, it wouldn't have anything to do with the mechanics of the ritual. It would be because it's building you up and psyching you up.
Because you believe that it works.
Yes, psyching up your willpower to make something happen.
Yeah.
Like Thelma, basically.
Yeah.
Or you know, OT powers from Scientology. You know, it's a Scientologist, too. They imagine things happening and they imagine things into existence.
Is it funny that every time I think of OT powers, and I hope somebody knows what I'm talking about, if you guys ever watched Kids in the Hall back in the 90s, every time somebody talks about OT powers, I always think of Tom Cruise doing that sketch from Kids in the Hall where he goes, I'm crushing your head. I'm crushing your head. Like doing it from far away.
Yeah.
That's what I always
OT
think
powers.
Of. I don't know why. I don't know why those two things got associated to me, but they did.
You know what? That'd be a cool porn name.
What?
OT powers. My name is OT Powers.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's the best idea because now we can do like a whole series of Scientology themed porn.
Yeah, well, OT Powers.
Starring OT Powers.
OT Powers, he's a Tom Cruise gay lookalike.
Yeah.
Gay porn lookalike. Yeah.
You're a genius.
And he wears a sailor outfit and everything, just like right out of the Sea Org.
Oh, and you have to do. And
Yeah.
I like this idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to write a series of erotic novels that
You and your gay Tom Cruise porn.
I can't stand Tom Cruise, I can't stand looking at his stupid face.
I'm not going to talk bad about Tom Cruise because I actually like Tom. I think he's a good actor. I like Tom Cruise movies.
He's good in the right movie.
In certain movies, yeah.
You know, I liked him in some movies, but...
I actually liked him in Interview with the Vampire.
I did too, even though he was Tom Cruise.
I liked him in Top Gun. I thought he was a convincing fighter pilot.
Well, he was a convincing douchebag. That's
was
for
that.
Sure. Really, the best thing I saw him in was, I think it was Magnolia. Because he was actually playing against type and he didn't seem like Tom Cruise.
The best Tom Cruise movie that I've seen was the sci-fi movie where he realized that he was a clone.
What was the name of that one? We saw that one.
Yeah.
Why can't I remember
Elenium or some Selenium?
Elysium.
Selenium. I mean, old people can't remember those fake words. Why do they put fake words on these movies, you know? Anaxarium and shit like that.
Well, and there...
Everything sounds like some kind of a...
It's kind of like how nowadays...
Erectile dysfunction medicine, you know? Take 30 milligrams of urethium.
Remember when that drug came out? I can't remember what it's for, but it was called Otezla. And I was like, that sounds like something the Mayans would be sacrificing to. Otezla.
Yeah.
Well, I hate that because all these like new businesses that are coming out, they're like, well, we want to build up our own brand and our own story. So we don't want a word that has any prior associations.
Right.
So we have to make up a word.
Right.
But that really doesn't work out so good because then all the words become kind of similar, like Ivana and, and like, I can't tell one from the other.
And that actually came from the 70s.
Yeah.
70s marketing thinking, you know, where they made 70s and 80s, they were making up car names.
Yeah.
Like, what is a Corolla? A Corolla isn't anything. It's just a Toyota.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as a Corolla.
But yeah.
An invented word, you know.
And,
you know, it's as fake as Corinthian leather.
Fine Corinthian leather.
Corinth, really known for leather, especially when that's not leather, that's vinyl. Corinth was really known for vinyl.
Yeah. That's where the vinyl cows live. Yeah. Everyone knows that. So really, the like we mentioned before.
She's probably Corinth, Michigan.
Well, that's probably how they get away with it. It's like a marketing loophole.
Corinth, Michigan,
I'm sure that's how they do it.
All right, go ahead.
Basically, the last 10, 15 minutes of this episode is this poor woman running around the house, pouring expensive olive oil, waving sage everywhere with the feather, and the cameraman going ape shit trying to make it look like something's happening, right?
Yeah.
And
shake the camera.
Shaking the camera, making it all, rotating it all crazy.
The camera weighs less than the house. Yeah. So it's easier to move the camera.
I never thought of it that way, but you are correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like on the old Star Trek when they said, okay, well, we're going to hit something so everyone fall over.
Yeah, yeah. And you got some guys overacting it, doing backflips. Yeah. Well, Shat says, fuck this shit. I'm just going to hold on to this chair. He's just holding on to the chair. Yeah, rock, back and forth. And you can tell he's getting sick of it.
He's like, I feel like such a dork right now.
Yeah.
Oh, we should mention, like, last night, because sometimes when we're bored, we kind of go on YouTube and try to find like old shitty 70s movies. And we watched one last night called Nightmare at 30,000 Feet.
Oh, bad. Terrible.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
And the Shat was in it.
It
was an old all-star cast.
It really was. Like, it was one of the 70s movies I've ever seen. And it was like a stupid premise, I guess. It was like a plane, but it wasn't like a plane crash type of movie. There was like, they were transporting some old piece of like church. Some old abbey or something
an old
like that
abbey.
And it was demons or druid gods or some shit. I don't know, and they started like possessing people on the plane and like making it cold. I don't even remember.
And it was like an elite 747 airplane. It's like a flying hotel, and it cost a lot of money to fly on it. And they got caught into a tailwind. It was 600 miles an hour, but they weren't going any faster.
So the plane was basically suspended
in air
while it was getting attacked from within by demons or
by
whatever
a demon. And the Shatner played
he was
a priest.
Was he defrocked or did he just quit?
A quit priest.
Yeah, and he was like
an ex-priest.
The most cynical cynic that ever cynicked in any movie ever. And a drunk. So
And he saved that movie.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
He was really the best part of that movie. Yeah. He was like such a dick, but he was so awesome. And spoiler alert, he gets sucked out of the plane at the end.
Yeah, it's cool.
In a very bad green screen.
And at the end, when he finally sees the demon, it plays a Star Trek sound effect. Bam!
It did.
Whenever Kirk would see something that was fucked up, he'd go, bam! I don't know. My voice can't mimic that musical
But
cue.
You guys Star Trek fans will know.
But it was hilarious because they just lifted it right from Star Trek.
And you can tell they did that on purpose. And it's like, this will be really funny.
Shat probably laughed his ass off when
he
put that in.
He's
like, oh, that's funny.
I feel like he had a
different... When he gets sucked out of the plane, instead of having him actually getting sucked out, it's just a cutout photograph of the Shat,
like
spread eagle, superimposed over a shot of clouds.
It's the best.
It's the worst science fiction. It was the worst special effects ever. But it worked.
It's very entertaining. I do recommend it. It's just because it's so batshit. And then there was that woman in there that looked kind of like Mia Farrow, but not.
Yeah,
she was
fake
like
Mia Farrow.
She was like totally overacting.
And the sexy little chick in the white go-go boots, the British.
Those unbelievable fucking stewardess outfits.
Stewardess outfits.
They were like
helmets.
Super, super short skirts and like white go-go boots.
Yeah.
And like a thing on their head that looked
like a helmet.
Crash helmet or something.
It was called 37,000. What?
Nightmare at 30,000 feet or 37,000 feet? Yeah, Nightmare at
37,000 feet, I think is what it was called. And you can see it for free on
YouTube. We found it on YouTube. Just kind of came across it.
It was made for TV, I believe.
Yeah, because there was like gaps where there was commercials. Yeah. But that was like super fun. And last couple minutes of the episode, like I said, was just blah, blah, blah. And apparently they showed like a whoosh, like the demon was like, shit, Sage, I have to get out. Yeah,
Sage and olive oil drive out the most vilest of demons possible. Right,
evidently.
Yeah.
Although they did say afterward, now apparently yada yada, everything went back to normal. They were all eating cookies and drawing and happy and everything like that.
Yeah.
But then the mom said, well, we still hear noises every now and then. Yeah, we're still worried. Feel
presence.
About
it. It feels like it comes and goes a little
so
bit.
So I don't know if that was just like a haunting saying, which you can't leave it like with a happy ending. You have to say, oh, maybe it'll come back. Just
no, so I think what the whole deal was, first of all, there was no demon.
Well, obviously.
She saw an apparition. If you look at the case in its entirety, I would say that it was poltergeist. That would be the most likely. You have a little kid that's generating a poltergeist based upon his fears.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. And I say this just because there were claims that they saw objects kind of levitating and just falling when you looked at them. That's consistent with some poltergeist activity. Scratching on the walls.
Yeah, that's very consistent
with poltergeist. It didn't seem to have anything to do with the location of where the kid was.
Yeah, because it happened at other people's houses. It happened
at other places, right. So the kid seems to be the focal point of it. I would just have to say, if this is a real case, it's poltergeist. Which, I don't know, something happened. I believe that the testimony of the husband and the wife, it sounded like they believed it. But how can you debunk it? How can you cross-check it?
Yeah, because like I said, I don't know what their real names are. They didn't show their faces. All you could see, they didn't disguise their voices, but...
Right. They won't tell you who they are.
They won't tell you who they are. And I'm not really even sure if that's the town they're from or anything like that. They might have...
And it was something that happened a while back or a long time ago.
Yeah.
So it'd be difficult to go back and verify it.
Yeah. But like I said, it's
still... If you can find the kid, who knows? Maybe it still happens around him.
Yeah, because actually they didn't talk to the kid or the daughter. Isn't that interesting? Because they get the whole family in on it.
Maybe he didn't want to talk about it.
Maybe not.
And also the sister didn't say anything about it.
No. It was,
it's weird.
It is pretty weird. So did Man say that we can end the show now?
Man said it's okay.
Man said we could.
Okay, so for the YouTube listeners, like I said, YouTube, it'll just be the same. If you want the audio podcast, then go to our WordPress page, which is wordpress.com/13oclockpodcast.
And please support the show on Patreon.
And please support the show on Patreon. We have like a lot of really fun extra stuff on there so far, and we're going to put some more stuff up in the future.
Bigger, the bigger the Patreon result, the more effort we will put in the show. We will make an even better show. You guys will love it.
So that's what we're kind of aiming for. So please go and check that out. We also have t-shirts at zazzle.com/13oclock. And is that it?
That's it.
I think that's it. This was episode 50. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can believe it?
Yeah, I can believe it. Yeah.
We've been doing our promise. In 2 weeks, it'll be our year anniversary of doing the show.
Cool.
So, yeah. Maybe we'll do something special for that because I have another 2 weeks to plan.
Depends on what Man says.
Man said it would be fun.
Yeah, that's true. We have to consult Man before we can do anything, okay? Yeah. So we say bye and Man says bye. Yeah. Bye.